10, 15, 20 years ago, sometimes that's just as painful as it was the moment we heard it the first time. There's one more thing that I want to say about just the destruction of words, and a warning specifically to men, actually. It is so important, men, how we use our words. In particular, if you are a father or a husband, because God has designed you to be a safe place for your family. God has designed you to be a protector, to look out for the people around you, to be the one who stands in the gap between your kids and your wife and the things that they're afraid of. And if you speak harsh words from a position of protection, then you will cause devastation to your family greater than almost anything else can. And I'm not talking about saying something occasionally. We've already seen, James mentions that. We all slip up, we all put our foot in our mouth. But what I'm talking about is constantly, habitually saying things that tear down the people closest to us. You will destroy relationships faster than anything else because they look to you for safety and comfort and protection. And from that place, if you use your words to give them anything else, it will cause great harm. So for the rest of the time, what I want to look at and see what James talks about is the practicality of how do we control our tongue. If our tongue is so destructive, if it can cause so much damage, then what do we do to get a rein on it? Because as we've seen throughout our time in James the last few weeks, it's very practical. It's a example of, hey, this is how you live correctly. And James gives us a lot of things, and we're going to look at some other scripture in the Bible as well that speaks to this. And the first one is actually in Proverbs 21. Sorry. And the advice here, the principle here to take away is that think before you speak. That's easier said than done sometimes, but if we would get into the habit of thinking before we just let the words fly out of our mouth, we would be much better off. Proverbs 21:23 says this, "The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble." The way James puts it back in chapter 1, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Just because something comes into our head doesn't mean it should come out of our mouths. And that's something we try to teach kids, and we try to get that across to them, but I think sometimes as adults we forget that as well, right? That if we would be a lot better at just thinking, hey, is this beneficial? Does this conversation really need my input here? Do I really have to say what I think, even though maybe you feel it pretty strongly? Oftentimes, if you would guard those things, that destruction we see won't come about. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, better to keep quiet and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes it's better just to keep quiet and think before we say something. The next thing that we see James talks about in the rest of our passage, the words that we say all fall on the ears of someone. That if we remember who we are speaking to, I think it would help us control what we say. This is how James puts it. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. People who are made in God's likeness are the people that we speak to. The posts that we put on social media, the texts that we send, the words that we say, all go to someone who is made in God's likeness. It's this idea We call it the Imago Dei, that everyone was created in God's image. Whenever God started creation, he made the sun and the moon and the stars, the land and the sea and the animals, and all of it was good. He loved all of his creation. But then he made mankind. And mankind has a special place in God's creation because they are imprinted with his image. God has stamped them with a special purpose, saying, I love this person, I made this person, they are created in my image for my glory. And every person that we speak to bears that image. The person that we are tempted to gossip about, the person that we might whisper about in the hallways at our school, the people who have hurt us in the past, the people who sit on the opposite side of the political aisle that we do, all of those people are created in God's image. And whenever we utter words against them that tear them down or belittle them or insult them, we are not just speaking out against them, we are speaking out against God and the thing that he has made and given special attention to. And so if we remember that I'm not just saying words that are flying out into the atmosphere, but I am saying things that are going to land on a person's ears who God has uniquely designed, I think we would stop and not speak the things that we want to sometimes. The next thing we see is this idea of filling our cup up with good things. And here's what I mean by this. I actually used this illustration a few weeks ago with some of the students. So if you know it, students, be quiet. Keep in line with the topic of the sermon today, all right? So I got this cup, and it's full of air. What is the best way to get the air out of this cup? Anyone want to take a guess? Put water in it, I think I heard, right? Put water in it. Yeah, that's the best way to do it. Sometimes people would think, well, you could suck all the air out, all right? And because there'd be no more air anymore, there's nothing in the cup. But what happens if I suck all the air out of this cup? It's a vacuum. The glass shatters all over the stage, right? And so whatever we talk about this idea of cleaning up the things that we say, okay, I need to get coarse jokes out of my mouth. I need to get sarcasm out of my mouth. I need to get complaining and gossip out of my mouth. It's not just a matter of gritting our teeth and trying really hard and saying, okay, I'm just not going to say those things anymore. I'm gonna suck them out and make sure that the void is empty, and then I won't have those things come out of my mouth anymore. No, we've seen that doesn't work, right? You have to replace with other things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So if this is something you want to take seriously, if you want to leave here today and say, okay, I don't want to be the person who causes destruction with my words anymore, it's not going to happen with willpower. It's not going to happen just by saying, all right, I'm going to put a penny in the jar every time I mess up. That's not going to work. It's going to take you replacing those things with righteous things, with holy thoughts, with godly things. And often what that means is paying attention to the things that you consume, the things that you listen to, the podcasts that you listen to, the shows that you watch, the people that you're around and that you let influence you. Whatever you take in to your mind is going to come out eventually. And so be mindful of the things that you are putting in, and instead, put in the things of God. Be in his word. Listen to sermons. Listen to music that is godly instead of music that is not. And this might be the most important one, honestly, for most of us. We've talked about how powerful words are. You know how you make words even more powerful? You put music to them. How often does a song pop in our head that we haven't heard in years, but man, every word is there because there is something about music that just embeds itself in our hearts and our minds. My kids come home from school and they are learning the days of the week and the months of the year and all these stuff set to music. I'm sure some of us have done that as well. And so the music that we choose to listen to, it is so crucial to how we follow after God. And I'm not saying you only can listen to Christian music or worship music, all right? I throw some 90s country through my playlist pretty often, all right? So I'm not saying it's only that music that you have to listen to. But we do have to be mindful about the lyrics that we are letting our kids hear. Man, sometimes I listen to kids at youth group and I am blown away. And can I just tell you, I have worked with teenagers in some capacity for about 16 years now. And there's one thing that I know about them. All right, parents? Teenagers, if you're in the room, you're probably the outlier, okay? Probably not, but this is, maybe you are. They're pretty bad at making decisions, all right? And I'm not just talking about the young ones. Just because you can shave, or just because you can drive, doesn't mean you don't need some guidance. And parents, you have a responsibility to guide your kids. And this might be the most important area where you need to step in and say, hey, listen, that is not okay to listen to. Because what you are taking in, you might not realize it, but it's going down deep. It's sinking into your heart. It's sinking into your mind. And you need to step away from that and replace it with something else. One more principle we see, this is in Proverbs 18, 21. It's the idea of speaking life instead of death. The tongue has the power to destroy, but it also has the power of life in it. This is what Proverbs 18, 21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That same power that we talked about in the beginning, that those few words that carry such importance, it can be used the opposite way as well. We can use our tongue to build people up. We can use it to encourage. We can tell the people around us what they mean to us and how much we care. We can spend less time complaining and spend more time talking about all the good that God is doing that we see. Hey, this is what God's doing in my life. I see God working in this area, reminding the people around us that, man, there is still good things happening, that God is still in control. Passing on insight that you've learned as you've done a study or that you've listened to sermons or something like that. Use your tongue for good. Speak life to the people around you. Because you can't use your words to destroy if you're using them to speak good. Those things won't come out of your mouth at the same time. And one more thing that we see that we read about in James is that you have to admit that you really can't control your tongue. Maybe some of you are sitting here thinking, like, that seems like a big ask. getting the words that I've said for 15, 30 years, taking those out of my vocabulary, that seems impossible. And you're right. You cannot do it on your own. James even says that. Listen to verse number 7. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. On your own, you cannot accomplish this. But check this out. This is what's, guys, the Bible is amazing. It is. This word tame, that's used twice here, it's only used one other time in the New Testament. And it happens in Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 5 is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. And this guy is a man who is full of demons. And he is an outcast in his town. He is put in the cemetery because no one wants to be around him. No one can control him. They try to chain him up. And he breaks the chains. And so he just terrorizes everyone. Everyone is completely afraid of this man. There's nothing they can do to control him. And then this is what we see in Mark 5, verse 3. Speaking of this Gadarene demoniac, he lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain. Because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. That word is the one other time that this word in the original Greek is used. No one can tame the tongue, and no one could subdue this man. But if you know the rest of the story, you know what happens. Even though no one can control him, Jesus shows up. And the first thing that happens is the Gadarene demoniac runs at his feet, falls down on his knees, and says, "What do you want to do with me, Son of the Most High God?" No one can control him, but Jesus shows up, and instantly he is under control. No one can tame the tongue, but with God's help, you can do this. If this seems like an impossible task, it is by yourself, but God can help you do this. Psalm 141:3 says this, "Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips." This verse might be the most important thing that you take away from this morning. This needs to be a prayer, probably for all of us. But if you're sitting here specifically convicted, this is definitely a prayer that you need to be praying. Admitting, "God, I can't get rid of the sarcasm. I can't get rid of the tone in which I use that sometimes destroys people. I can't get rid of the cursing or the complaining. But God, if you help me guard my lips, then I can. Because you can control what can't be controlled. My tongue can't be tamed, but God, you can." And there's one other way that I know that God can help you do this. Remember those little phrases that we talked about at the beginning? Those less than five words, and they carry great power. When Jesus was on the cross, the very last thing he said before he breathed his last breath was one of those phrases. Three words: "It is finished." It's done. Jesus won the victory. Everything was complete at that moment. The war was over, sin was defeated, and it no longer has power over you. If you have been baptized into Jesus, Romans 6 says that you have been buried with him in baptism, and the sin that used to enslave you no longer has any power over you. And so you can do this. It is done. Jesus has done the work, and with his help, you can get a rein on your tongue, because there is freedom in Christ. It seems daunting, and it will be. I'm not telling you that tomorrow everything is going to be better, but with Jesus' help, you can do this. You can control your tongue. You can stop causing destruction to the people around you. You can speak life instead. You can guard the words that come out of your mouth. It is possible because of Jesus. So I pray that we would start today. That we would understand, hey, this is something that matters. I don't want to be a person who causes destruction, but I want to be a person who lets God take control of my tongue. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful for our time and your word this morning, that we could just see what you have to tell us. God, that you give us hope that man, sin doesn't have to have control, that we can look to you and be free from the things that we don't want to have in our life anymore. So God, help us to be people who honor you with what we say. God, thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Thank you for his life and his death and his resurrection. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.